Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings, everybody.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone.
Could you just say good morning once?
Good morning once. This is the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe!
Mr. Mark!
Is right here. And we're ready to
Mr.
go.
Mr. Robs on the other side of the glass. Brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company.
Boy, you're wound up. Did you put something extra in your coffee today?
No. Nothing extra. Just the usual stuff.
It's National Espresso Day, and so they...
Espresso?
Right. They're making espresso across the
hall. What's an espresso?
Espresso, it's a...
No, EX. Is it ES or EX?
Yes.
Well, I've heard people call it an espresso.
Well,
is that incorrect?
Espresso, that's when you say something out loud. I'm here to espresso my opinion.
Oh, I thought it was when you send something really fast. We're going to espresso this.
Yeah, that works too, either way.
Right.
But espresso is the coffee drink.
And now, what is in it? What makes it different?
Ground up coffee. It's made
ground
with steam instead of hot water.
Well, isn't steam hot, super hot water?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so explain the difference. It looks like there's a distinction in search of a difference there. You don't understand what it is either.
No.
You ever drink one?
No, yeah, I don't know what espresso is, yeah.
You ever drink one?
Totally confused.
What's a latte, then? Explain
a
latte.
Yeah, I had one on Sunday.
What's a latte?
That is espresso with steamed milk. Lots of it.
Steamed milk as opposed to steamed water.
Okay. Are you okay, buddy?
No, I just think the nomenclature here is throwing me for a loop.
You'll never be a barista. You know
no,
what that
I
is?
No, I will never. I do know. That's a coffee maker, right? fancy name for a guy who pours you a cup of coffee.
Mostly women.
Oh, okay. Well, my morning when I put my pod in the Keurig, does that make me a barista?
That
or
makes
just
you
a consumer.
You're a Keurigista.
A Keurigista.
A Keurista.
Keurista. Oh, I like that. That sounds very impressive.
A Keurigista. Yeah.
Should be a G in there, though, just to make sure you can tell.
Do you remember, if you had to, do you know how to make drip coffee?
No, I never did.
Oh, okay.
Never did. All I've ever done is the pods.
Okay. So prior to then, you were just the soda
thing. I didn't drink
thing.
Coffee. Yeah, right. I just was a soda drinker.
Yeah, you say you only drink one cup of coffee a day, but you have six sodas.
No, I've cut back four.
Okay. You know it's not good for you. You know
it
ruins
the coffee.
You know it ruins the finish on your car.
Well, I don't apply it to my car. I apply it to my stomach.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sound advice. All right. Well, welcome on board, everybody. We're trying to caffeinate the show here, so we're getting started. Rob Setter is on the other side of the glass, like my good co-host mentioned, and I'm Mark Lawrence. I portray a liberal on the radio. Joe's a genuine conservative, but a natural-born listener. He will listen to any viewpoint or idea before dismissing it, so we appreciate him coming in today. He gets a stipend for coming in here. We basically pay him to say anything, and believe it or don't, he does.
So, what would you like me to say? It'll be $5. Just send me.
I think you should repeat how good-looking I am. I just had a great haircut. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. On the Mark is sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Please check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our email is open at, it's on the mark at wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. At 9:15 this morning, we'll hear from Leonard Steinhorn, the professor of communications and history at American University. But he's a great commentator on everything. He's a defender leader of the baby boomers and quite informed on a wide range of cultural and societal goings-on here in the U.S., the presidency. So we'll talk about President Biden. We can mention the Strategic Oil Reserve, see if that'll have any impact on gasoline
prices.
That's a
real smart move. Let's let's get rid of our Strategic Oil Reserves because we were dumb enough to close down pipelines.
He's drawing down like 8%. I don't think that's really going to get rid of it. But in any event, yeah, it's never been done that I recall.
Hey, it's been done before.
Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
It's never been done, as I recall, just to lower prices as the goal. I remember during Katrina, we did that, and maybe during the Gulf War. Thank you. We use those reserves. And, of course, the net effect was to supplement the supply. Now, that had the corollary effect to lower prices, but the main goal was to keep the supply of oil abundant. I don't know how much of the reserves it is, but CBS says it'll be about 8% of the existing reserves if the president draws down as much as he says he wants to.
Well, we have our first call of the morning coming in, but let me put it to you this way. If we hadn't closed down the pipelines, if we hadn't destroyed American energy independence, what pipeline we closed.
Yeah, but that wasn't supplying U.S. oil.
Well,
it wasn't supplying any oil. It wasn't going to be done for years. So the permit's gone.
Well, we closed it down.
Right.
And that hurts.
Why?
Just psychologically.
Yeah, I was just going to say it hurts you because you're a Republican and you think that it impacted us, but it didn't hurt us. And the president recently permitted leasing of the Gulf of Mexico. I guess it's renewal of leases or maybe some new leases. The president said he had no choice, but of course we know that he actually did have a choice and chose to do so. So that's a good energy policy.
Oh, it was?
We have to have fuel until we get all our bridge fuels or other forms of fuels or whatever, whatever the future is going to be.
I see.
And we know that drilling in the Gulf of Mexico can be safe. Now, we have had some accidents that required a big response, but by and large, it's conducted in a environmentally safe fashion for the most part.
So are the pipelines. They're environmentally safe, too.
Right. Well, I'm not saying
we're shutting them down.
We have to have existing pipelines. There's no argument there. The fuel you pumped in the past couple of weeks probably came through a pipeline into our region.
I'm sure it did. I have no problem with that.
All right.
Unlike you.
Well, okay. Joe and I are on the same side, and we just can't stand it. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We get open phones. We get the luxury pretty regularly now of starting off with Stan on the news line, so we're glad he's back on. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Guy out in Waukesha that ran all the people over and killed, is it up to 5, 6? I'm not sure what the number is.
Five now with 6 in critical condition. And the six I heard this morning, 5 of them are children who are in critical condition.
Now, I understand that the police are going to do their due diligence out there and do a thorough investigation. And before they come to a conclusion of they know what happened, okay? And they know, pretty sure they know who did it. They're just looking for into motive. Now, the information coming out now, as all the information that comes out early, whether it's 100% true or not, is unknown. That this guy had some pretty radical racial views, and he was a serial abuser, beating his girlfriends and wives, and evidently he had been arrested for running over one of his baby mamas. And that's where he got out on bail on $1,000. From up there in Milwaukee with the radical DA allowing that to happen. So then he came down and, he ran over a bunch of people in a parade. And according to the police, now this is what I saw, they were not chasing him when it happened. He decided he was going to go down that road, when they got barricades up, run through the barricades and run people down. So when is the news media going to expose this, for what it is? Now, they say, it wasn't a terrorist act. Well, I'm a terrorist, criminal act. It's all one and the same. So, but we're not getting the same coverage that we got last year when Mr. Rittenhouse defended himself and shot 3 people. What's the difference?
Well, that's a good question. Plus the fact there's no racial component here, yet there is in almost everything else. But this man happens to be a person of color, and I haven't heard that end of the story. No one said he's running people down because of a racial issue. But I guarantee you if it were a white man and he had run down people in a black parade, there probably would have been some racial
element.
Wouldn't
you not think that would be greater news?
What?
if the racial incident had got, if it had become a racial incident, that he did so because they were black?
Well, I don't know. I guess it would. Yeah,
that's
I'm sure it would.
Pretty
it would
silly
have been
answer.
A,
you don't know.
Well,
is something newsworthy more newsworthy than something that's not newsworthy, and you don't know? That's pretty funny, Joe.
Now, wait a minute. Run that by me again.
Okay, if we knew that he ran over white people because he's black, would that not be newsworthy than if it's just
it
what
be.
It is? It's
it,
just
it would be.
A person hitting people in a parade.
I don't think it was, you know, and the question becomes, well, is there a racial component in everything or just some things?
Not in this one that I know of. But Stan's here to tell us that there is.
Well,
go ahead.
I you know, that's what's out there, okay? That he has some extreme racial views.
Ah,
he's
okay.
A black supremacist, and he's one of those, what is it, the Israeli black, that group. I can't think of it. But they're the ones that attacked Sandman a couple years ago out down there in D.C. at the pro-life rally.
Right.
You know, they were attacking him. Yeah.
There was
Black Hebrews or something like that.
There's also the story this morning that black armed militias rallied outside the Georgia courthouse Monday, where the three white men are on trial for the fatal shooting of Ahmaud Arbery, an unarmed black man, and a new Black Panther leader issued a warning. Mm-hmm. He said, "Y'all are in serious trouble because the wrath of karma is coming on America." The man identified himself as the supreme commander of the new Black Panther militia. "We're not taking it no more," he said, as prosecutors and defense lawyers delivered their closing statements. So if there was a white militia out in front of that courthouse, that would, I think, have been major news. But the fact that their black militias were out there, that's not news.
So do you guys think that the news media is biased?
Yeah.
Oh, my God! I'm going to send a text to Matt and send out a news alert immediately. We finally
alert the media.
The same revelation Joe brings in here every day that the news media is biased. Oh my gosh!
Just throwing that out there. You're right, Joe, about the Arbery case down there in Georgia. From everything I've seen, those guys are guilty of sin.
Oh yeah,
know?
No doubt about it.
Yeah, and they deserve everything they get. But for the black militia to be out there, you know, it's the same as when they're in Kenosha protesting in front of the courthouse with Rittenhouse.
Well,
it's not right.
I hope the jury in Georgia does the right thing, because I can't find any justification for what those guys did. I can't find any. You know,
and you're right.
And so I think the jury, whatever the jury's decision is, I'll respect it. I may not like it, but I'll respect it, just as I did the case Rittenhouse's jury. I think they did the right thing, and I respect their opinion. But I have friends of mine on Facebook who, you know, just think this is terrible. They posted a picture of Dexter. Do you know who Dexter is?
The guy on Cinemax, one of those things.
Right? He was the blood spatter expert who killed a lot of people down in Florida.
Yeah.
He's now back on TV again. He's holding up a newspaper saying Rittenhouse jury sets him free. And the implication being that he's going to go after him and cut him up because he only goes after bad guys.
I've seen the show. I kind of liked the show. I thought it was kind of good at times, but I don't get the Cinemax or Showtime, one or the other.
The point being that, you know, the people are not willing to respect the jury's decision if they don't like it. I still think that's the best system we have. You know, it is 12 people who are peers make a decision on whether somebody's guilty or innocent based on the evidence they've heard. I'm not about to second-guess them, no matter what they do. I mean, I didn't hear all the evidence. I didn't sit there. And I think we need to respect jury results.
Well, as in both cases, there was video of both events, correct? In Kenosha, there was video of what happened with Rittenhouse as he tried to run away from the people that were attacking him. And I'm talking about the first guy. Rosenbaum is the one that started it. He chased him down. Okay, so there is video of that. There's also video of the guys in Georgia shooting Arbery, and basically they hunted him down, and he was in jogging shorts and a T-shirt. It obviously had no weapons. And they tried to grab him, and he grabbed the gun, and they shot him twice.
Well, and then yesterday the prosecutor, the defense attorneys brought in his dirty black toenails. What does that have to do with anything?
What?
Yeah, they were talking about him running through the neighborhood apparently without shoes, and he had dirty black toenails. So,
oh my God.
So what?
Oh, well, I got some neighbors that are running around of the Mennonite persuasion that since they've been kids, they run around their bare feet. So I'm thinking until they take a bath at night, their toenails are probably pretty dirty, too, because I know what they run around in on the dairy farm. So,
okay. All righty.
Well, there's an image I'll carry with me the rest of the day.
that's pretty lame.
Well, it has absolutely no place in the trial. It has nothing to do with what happened.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so a guy likes to run around bare feet. A lot of people like to run around in bare feet. So what?
Well, and the fact that they had video of him in the past being at this place, he never took anything, had nothing in his hands. You know, for them to just go out and shoot him because they thought they had the right to detain him is absolutely absurd, in my opinion. But
and you're not wrong, Joe. They are guilty of sin, as far as I'm concerned. And if I was on the jury with just the video evidence, you know, it doesn't matter what led up to it, because he was running down the road. He wasn't attacking them. He wasn't even going near them. They were in a vehicle. All they had to do was drive by and call the cops.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, if they thought there was something wrong. If they thought there was something wrong, that would have been the thing to do. I'm sure they must have had cell phones.
Well, I'm sure they dialed 911 first before they opened fire.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the cell phone was used to take the video of them shooting them.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, they had a cell phone. They could have called and taken care of it the right way. But they chose to take it the law into their own hands. Now, that's vigilante justice there. You know, they're accusing Rittenhouse of that, and, you know, and the news media, especially the MSNBC, Joy Reid's and all that, are saying that, you know, now it's open season on black people. White men can go out and shoot black people because of this. That's a bunch of BS words that I can't say on the radio, you know. So, yeah, they're just, you know, the news media is spreading the hate, ginning people up to hate, and they're the big part of the problem.
Yeah. Go ahead and say those words. We'll just beep you.
Well, but it'll still be on the archive. It'll still be on the archive, though.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Stan. All right. 1-800-795-9565. One of our good listeners sent us something about the Strategic Oil Reserve, so we can chit-chat about that. President Biden doing something that I don't recall any president ever doing, that is drawing on the Strategic Oil Reserves in order to lower gasoline prices, and that's the only reason. I'm sure other presidents have used it, but only during times of disaster to help stabilize the oil markets in general. Of course, prices, I guess, might have been stabilized in the process, but that wasn't the initial goal. That was just a corollary benefit. All right, but what's your view on this topic? 1-800-795-9565. Of course, Ahmaud Arbery and Rittenhouse trials continue to entertain and live rent-free in the minds of conservatives, so we'll let that continue. And we did understand, we came up with the fact today, and we didn't realize it up to now, that the media is biased. So we're going to have to get to the bottom of this. We'll send a letter to CBS right away. 1-800-795-9565.
You mean the home of original reporting.
Yeah, we just made it up.
Right.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, happy birthday to one of our great, great occasional co-hosts, call-in ultra-liberal, longtime Sunbury Broadcasting employee, Dan Mitchell, enjoying probably his 80-something-ith birthday today.
I thought he was roughly my age. I thought he was 70.
Oh,
maybe
70,
79,
okay.
Maybe 79. He might be 80.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Happy birthday, Than. If you're listening, feel free to give us a buzz. We don't hear too often from you, but we know where you're out there, so thank you for that. 1-800-795-9565. We'd love to hear from you today. President Biden is releasing the U.S. oil reserves. I think he said about 50 million barrels, so that'll be... CBS says that's about 8% of the total reserves, and it'll be done over weeks and months at a time. One of our listeners sends us something he found, saying, here's one hedge fund manager's opinion named Kyle Bass. Go ahead and read that.
Said, if anyone took the time to review the U.S. SPR data, the administration has been selling many millions of barrels each month for the last 90 days.
Let me stop you there. This is a sell down that started in 2018 under President Trump, and Congress approved it and Trump signed it. So this has been going on for a couple of years, and it continues. Yes, 90 days has happened, but this is a sell down of the reserves. It's not just the Biden administration doing it. It's considered a national initiative.
May I continue now?
Yes, please. Go right ahead. Oh, I just want to add context. I mean, Biden hasn't been selling anything.
Well, the next sentence in this is, and for context, the globe consumes 100 million barrels per day. A coordinated release of 50 million is nothing at all. Rounding error. Okay.
Well, but wait. President Biden's not releasing it to the globe. He's releasing it into the U.S. so that U.S. refineries can refine it at lower prices in the U.S. The U.S. only uses about 12 million gallons a day. So if you do 50 million gallons, that would be 4 days' worth in the U.S., which, you know, I don't know. What's that going to be, pennies at the pump? And it's just temporary anyway.
Right.
And so this is full of misinformation, or sort of one. It's probably all true, but it's full of one-sided information.
Gee, just like the media.
Right. And here's another one.
Oh, no, this isn't. This is the Aubrey shooting. This is an email, by the way. The Aubrey shooting reminds me of a Billy Jack movie. Wasn't he shot with a shotgun by one of the defendants over the cab, standing in the bed of a pickup? Only thing missing was shovels and pitchforks, completely different from Rittenhouse and very seemingly racist. Now, I would agree with that.
Okay. All right.
Would you not?
I don't have an opinion on that. I honestly,
you don't think the Aubrey shooting was racist?
This is
one case where I think it obviously was.
Okay. Well, it probably was. But honestly, I don't follow every detail about these things. Yes, on face value, it appears as though on everything that we see. But I didn't follow closely Rittenhouse, and I didn't follow this. And certainly the Globe feels as though it's racist. But and it certainly has that appearance. But, you know, I just reserve judgment because I haven't seen everything. I haven't followed this. I have no idea what the toenails have to do with it. Or is it toes or toenails?
Toenails.
Toenails,
dirty
right.
Toenails.
I saw the mother talking about it afterwards. She was irritated that the prosecutor had brought that up.
It wasn't the prosecutor. It was the defense attorney. Oh.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm absolutely positive.
All right, thank you. I still don't know why that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't follow it. So, but I certainly do follow the fact that the world is following it closely, and the media, of course, has convicted those three already, just as they convicted Mr. Rittenhouse. That was plainly obvious along the way. And you don't hear any, like, newfound caution. You know, nobody talks about the Arbery trial as though these three guys are actually innocent. It's just a matter of a prolonged trial to get to that point. They're already guilty, just as Rittenhouse, you know, shockingly was.
They're guilty in the court of public
the
opinion because of what's been reported. But I think what's been reported here is fairly accurate. I mean, I don't know how you put a spin on three white men shoot a black man and kill him because he's jogging down a road and they think he did something wrong.
When they know he's the one.
Well, I mean, you know, what I think and what I can prove are two different things. You ever hear of giving somebody the benefit of the doubt? You know, before I would shoot the guy, I would stop him and say, listen, we've been having a lot of thefts in our neighborhood. Just want to make sure you're on the up and up. I think you could do that before you pulled out your shotgun and blasted him because he's running down the road.
And they did not call 911, right?
Not that I'm aware of. Not until after the fact.
All right.
I believe that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they'd have called the police to report him, listen, we've had some break-ins in the area. I think this may be the guy. He's running down the road here.
Well, it certainly is suspicious activity in general, right?
Well, now the defense is trying to make it look like he was responsible for his own death, and of course that's not untypical for the way some of these things play out, by making it seem like, well, why was he running? If he hadn't been running, it wouldn't have been a problem.
But yeah, wrong place, wrong time.
But if you see someone that you believe is out of place in your neighborhood and you accost them, you're already on the wrong foot, in my opinion. I mean, people have a right to be where they want to be unless they're doing something illegal or harmful or malicious. Mm-hmm. And there was no evidence that Mr. Aubrey was doing this.
And for this, you get the death penalty if you're violating any of those guidelines.
I don't know. I don't think it was. Wouldn't be premeditated, would it? Because it was in the heat of the moment. It would probably be secondary murder, depraved indifference to human life, would seem like the proper. If you were going to find them guilty, that would seem to be the proper verdict,
I would think.
Well, but on the other hand, you know, I don't know the racial makeup of this jury, and I haven't heard it. Have you?
It must not be significant because we have not heard it at all.
Well, I think there was one. I'm trying to remember whether I don't want to conflate this trial with Rittenhouse. But in one area, I heard that there were 75% of the area was white and 25% of the area was black, but only one person on the jury was black. So that was not living up to the contemporary standard of the community. Now, whether it's this trial or Rittenhouse, I'm not certain. I think it's this one.
1-800-795-9565. Write that down. You're going to need it during the next hour. We'll do news headlines to start out, and then we'll have Leonard Steinhorn on the line. He's a professor. Leans liberal. I think we're going to say in advance to folks, and we'll talk to him about President Biden and the release of the oil from the U.S. Petroleum Reserves. And we can also talk to him a little bit about our national fascination with these big trials that are underway. 1-800-795-9565 is that number. You can text us at 70236, include the keyword OTM, and you can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time. It is 9 a.m. CBS News. Then our local headlines are next here on WKOK. This is the On the Mark WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. We won't have open phones for about 20 minutes here while we do news headlines, then talk to Leonard Steinhorn. We thank Rob Center, our producer. He's going to be contacting Mr. Steinhorn shortly, so we appreciate that. American University professor. We'll talk to him about the Biden administration release of strategic oil reserves. We can also talk about other goings-on in the world, including our obsession with these racially tinged trials that seem to be happening in the U.S. That's sort of the body politic in the country these days, so we can discuss that. We have some news headlines. In the meantime, a few more details are out on the death in Cole Township, Northumberland County over the weekend. Coroner James Kelly tells us 61-year-old Sarah Jones of West Hollow Street, Cole Township, died at her home. He says Jones was pronounced dead at her home around 11:50 a.m. Sunday. An autopsy scheduled for today in Allentown. Cole Township Police say they also took into custody Christopher Depka, who was in the home at the time that the investigation began. He's facing unrelated charges. Creator and publisher of Susquehanna Life magazine, Erica Shames, is retiring, and this will be the last issue of the magazine. She says she held off on selling the magazine in order to preserve its journalistic integrity.
You know, it's always been important to me that advertising and editorial are like church and state. We don't sell articles. Articles are in the magazine because they've passed editorial muster in terms of their interest level or what they can teach or what they can do to entertain.
You can hear her exit interview on WKOK.com on our podcast page. Hospitalizations are up around here from COVID-19. Geisinger Danville now has 90 people on board, 30 of whom are in the ICU. BYU. That's 7 more than last week. Geisinger Shamokin has 25 people there. That, too, an increase. And Evangelical Community Hospital, about the same, 38 people on board, the majority of whom, about three-quarters or so, are unvaccinated individuals. AP reporting that Sean Parnell, the candidate endorsed by President Trump for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania, Monday suspended his campaign after he lost a court fight over custody of his three children, in which the judge says the judge believed the allegations of abuse by Parnell's estranged wife. In a statement, Parnell said he was devastated by the judge's decision and planned to ask the judge to reconsider, but that he cannot continue his campaign. The high-stakes campaign in the battleground state here of Pennsylvania could help determine control of the U.S. Senate next year. A decision by the judge in Butler County came 2 weeks after Parnell took the stand to deny the allegations by his estranged wife. Gubernatorial candidate Charlie Giroux was on the WKOK Newsline recently.
If we can't trust the count, if we can't have faith in our elections, bluntly, there are no winners. But as I said, restoring our economic prosperity is so vitally important. So we've got to get back in Pennsylvania to a growing economy.
He also said that he supports constitutional amendments giving Pennsylvanians the right to recall a governor and to allow ballot initiatives from the public. Speaking of election integrity, Center Square reporting today that State Senate Republicans have agreed to pay up to $250,000 to investigate the 2020 election. The forensic audit is underway in Harrisburg. Senate Intergovernmental Operations Committee Chair Chris Dush of Wellsboro announced the committee will contract the Iowa-based consulting firm Envoy Sage to conduct the investigation into the 2020 election and this past primary. The contract, worth $270,000 over 6 months, will be paid out of Republican caucus funds, which are really dedicated taxpayer funds that are only allowed to be used by, you got it, Republicans. And that's the latest on WDKOK. Didn't I have something else I wanted to say?
I don't know. Did you?
I thought I had like a little...
I stopped reading like mines a few weeks ago.
Black Santa story or something. Oh, I lost it. I set it aside. It must have stuck to something else.
Okay.
It's gone. All right, we'll be contacting Leonard Steinhorn shortly. Why don't we take the break now that we would normally take? Wow, Mr. Steinhorn's on the line. Hopefully we'll get him dialed up and we'll be good to go.
All right. Go ahead
and jot this down. Everybody will need it later.
It's 1-800-795-9565. Does that sound right?
That's to be the open phone after probably 9:25 this morning. And the text number, 70236, include the keyword OTM. You can also email us at onthemarket@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We're glad to say we asked for and received an opportunity once again to talk to Leonard Steinhorn from American University, professor of communications and affiliate professor of history. Quite knowledgeable, prolific author, and one of the most active political commentators at CBS.
And he's smart, too. He gives us good answers
to
questions.
Yes, he's an egghead also. So we have Egghead Steinhorn on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hey, I don't know who you're talking about here.
Okay. Professor.
President Biden releasing U.S. strategic oil reserves with the goal of lowering gasoline prices. I mean, as much as I'd love to pay less at the pump, I mean, that raises one eyebrow for me, because I just think, you know, it's political expediency to lower gas prices at a strategic time. Am I following that right? Do you see the same analysis coming out there?
Well, look, they don't want to see gas prices increase. It's contributing to inflation. It's making people more nervous. We're getting to the home heating season, and people don't want to see spikes in their home heating prices. So, you know, this is sort of a morale problem as we're trying to get out of this pandemic. And our economy is doing actually pretty well if you look at the numbers, but people don't feel that way because of inflation, or they go to the gas station and they see the high cost of gas. So, you know, people expect the president to do something. They blame him when there's something that goes wrong, and they expect him to do something about it. Now, if he taps the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, will that do a lot to help prices? Maybe in the short term, but I think there's something larger at stake here, which is the president and his team are trying to work with China, of all places, China, Japan, India, South Korea, Great Britain, to be able to coordinate the release of strategic reserves, to send a message to OPEC and to Saudi Arabia to say, hey, you all have to increase production, and if you don't, we're going to put pressure on you. So I think this is part of the whole larger strategic game, because a lot of countries are feeling these increased gas prices.
Well, I saw this morning some reporting that the Democrats are in panic mode over President Biden's extremely low and falling approval rating. If you were him, what would you do maybe to reverse that, or can it be reversed easily?
Well, look, it's sort of interesting because, again, when you look at the numbers, I mean, the job growth has been exceptional when they've adjusted all of the numbers over the past few months. The nervousness is that we're coming out of the pandemic. People's lives have been upended. They're not really sure what to do and how to proceed. They've seen their schools disrupted. They've seen their businesses disrupted. There's a degree of uncertainty around. They see shelves not as stocked as they once were because of the supply chain problem. So, you know, what do? You naturally blame the people in power. And I don't think it helped, certainly, when Biden showed a sort of degree of, let's say, fecklessness in the Afghan evacuation, because those images were powerful and they get locked in. And then you had the COVID surge just weeks after Biden saying that we're sort of beyond the bad phase. So people have to wonder, hey, how's he doing? Is he really in charge on all of this? So what Biden has to be able to do is to reassert sort of his authority, to show a degree of competence, that he's in charge, that he's doing things to get us out of these problems, and to reassure Americans that, hey, things are going to get better because of the things that we are doing in Washington. And they have to hope that this inflation spikes, you know, sort of settles down after a certain amount of time, that gas prices begin to go down, and that all of it sends a message to the American people that, hey, maybe things aren't so bad. We hit a bad patch, but things are getting better, and I'm glad the president is acting. That's the narrative that they're hoping to create right now, because you're right. This has been a rough time for President Biden, and it's unclear whether perceptions can change so easily back to, hey, this is a good guy, we like him, he's doing things for our country.
On this program, we get a lot of calls from people who just don't buy the fact that this Build Back Better several trillion dollar plan is going to be, quote, fully paid for. In fact, the office of the Congressional Budget Office says it isn't fully paid for, and they believe it's going to continue fueling inflation. You know, what kind of common sense does this make as far as you're concerned, or doesn't it?
Well, look, you know, economists always like to predict things, and half of them are right and half of them aren't. And so that means the ones that are right can say that they've got it right, and the ones that aren't say, oh, well, they just didn't get the right information. So there are some economists who say it really won't add to inflation, that it'll actually potentially improve things because it's going to pump money into the economy and sort of make our economy healthier and make it more efficient and make it more productive. And there are others who say when you pour that much money into the economy, sure, it's going to spike inflation and keep inflation high. So, again, we don't know. As Yogi Berra, the great Yankee catcher, used to say, I never make predictions, especially about the future.
yeah.
But when you think about it, we had the big tax cut under President Trump. And that wasn't fully paid for either, even though the Republicans said it would be then. And that didn't necessarily cause inflation. It increased the deficit. Then you had all of the stimulus payments during COVID. Well, did the last one cause inflation because people have so much more money in their pockets and they want to buy more things and buy more goods, yet the economy is still disrupted because of supply problems? And if that's the case, if demand exceeds supply, then you do have inflation potential. That could have caused inflation, this last big stimulus. As for the next one, it's putting money into people's lives and making them arguably more efficient. It's telling families that they don't have to worry as much about preschool or childcare. It's helping people out with their health care costs. Is it going to save money and potentially lower prices, let's say, on prescription drugs under Medicare? Potentially, yes. So some economists are saying, no, this is the one that won't potentially fuel inflation. It's the previous one that might have fueled inflation because people have more money to spend. And in fact, they do. People have more money saved than before, and therefore they want to be able to spend that on goods, but the goods aren't as available because we have supply problems down the line. So your listeners are right to ask the questions, but I don't think anybody is right to know what's going to happen in the future, because there are a lot of factors and considerations that go into an economy and inflation, and I don't think anybody, even those with the PhDs in economics, can tell for sure that they know what's going to happen 6 months down the line.
As a history professor, I'm sure you remember President Truman's quest for a one-handed economist.
Yes, exactly, exactly, yeah, because it's on one hand and on the other hand, right. Exactly.
Why isn't the Biden administration selling this better? It seems that this is almost an advertising issue. He's taken you know, several cursory steps that he hoped would help, but almost nobody knows about him, whether it's the Gulf of Mexico petroleum leases or this announcement about the strategic petroleum reserves. They take some very quiet actions that potentially could be part of the solution, but nobody knows.
Well, look, the president's going to give a speech today, but I think it's become much harder to do public relations as a president in a very fragmented media era. So people aren't just sort of tuning on every evening to the evening news, and not everybody is listening to news all the time. You've got podcasts talking about crimes, unsolved crimes. You've got, you know, how many sites that people go to. I ask my students what they actually go and read, and you could never get sort of a consistent answer from any of them. They're all over the place. They're getting their news from Twitter. They're seeing things that they scroll, that they get from aggregator sites. So it becomes much more difficult to control the narrative the way, let's say, that President Reagan did. I remember when President Reagan's top communications person, Michael Deaver, he came to my class a bunch of years ago. He's now passed on. But he came to my class and he said, you know, my job, he goes, I wasn't a communications director. I was sort of a TV producer. He goes, I was a stage manager. He goes, because we knew that at that point in time, with, you know, the vast majority of the country watching one of the three evening news shows, that if we could choreograph the coverage on the evening news, we'd be able to get through to most Americans. But now, evening news on TV, what is it, garner about, you know, 25 million people at most when you add the three of them collectively? Hmm. So it becomes much harder to get your message out and to demand attention. Now, President Trump was able to get his message out because he had this sort of outsized personality, and his tweets were all over the place. But it was often controversial news rather than news that helped him unite the country. And I think that's the problem for any president these days. It's just much harder to communicate in this media ecosystem that they have. And I also think, and you're right, Biden hasn't been as effective as he could have been.
Can Biden be effective? I mean, there are still great concerns among a lot of people about his cognitive abilities, despite the fact that he allegedly passed his physical. You know, are we right to be worried about this?
He says he passed it.
Right.
As he recalls.
Look, I think that's a sort of media story. There's no evidence. I mean, look, when he was in the debate with a former President Trump, you know, he was on his toes. He looked fine. When he was in a debate with Bernie Sanders during the campaign, he looked fine. I mean, he answers questions perfectly well. There's no reason to think that there's any issue other than the fact that people want to make it an issue. I think we would know if it were an issue. And look, President Reagan was in office and people trusted him after he made a joke in a debate about his age. Yet he had the onset of Alzheimer's disease and he was still president and he still made decisions and he still was in control of the country. There's no evidence that Joe Biden is even anything close to that. So I think we have to sort of step back and say, hey, you know, he has... You know, it's just that he has made a couple mistakes. He has underestimated the importance of inflation, and now they're catching up. They didn't do Afghanistan as well as they should have. They miscalculated on whether there is we were really out of the woods on COVID. And we are in a highly polarized environment. So you plant a seed, let's say on Fox News, about the president's cognitive abilities, and everyone's going to talk about it, and it's going to go viral on Twitter among certain constituencies, and people are just going to endlessly talk about it on radio because the seed has been planted, whether it's true or not. And I think that's also part of the problem in our media culture these days, is that rumors and innuendos can just spread so easily, and that becomes the part of the conversation, and at times it drives the conversation, that it also distracts us from the things that we really, really need to think and talk about. So you show me the evidence that there's cognitive decline. I mean, look, Joe Biden, when he was 30 years younger, was stepping on his own toes when he talked verbally at times. Okay, he was sort of, people used to say he's a gaffe machine. That became sort of an endearing quality about him, that he's just sort of like one of us. He makes mistakes. He doesn't say everything as articulately as everyone would like. And also remember, that was something about George Bush. He was a gaffe machine. George W. Bush, a gaffe machine. But no one ever questioned his cognitive ability. So show me the evidence. I'd be more interested in it at that point. But I haven't seen it so far, except that he's, what, a 79-year-old man? And at that point, yeah, maybe you're not as quick on your toes.
Well, I'm 62.
Well, I'm 79.
I'm already declining. Yeah, Joe's way gone.
I'm way out of here.
All right. Leonard, thank you so much. We very much appreciate these conversations.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you on.
Have a great Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll talk again in December, we hope.
Absolutely.
Thanks
so much, and a great Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. Professor Leonard Steinhorn, American University Communications Department, and an affiliate professor of history, a prolific author, and a CBS News political analyst. So we appreciate him checking in. All right, we'll take a quickie break, and we're going to open up the phones if you want to comment about the things that we talked about, the division in the U.S., or President Biden's cognitive abilities, or
lack thereof.
Anything on the line, the strategic oil reserves. What's that all about? 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Somebody spelled Joe's name wrong, so we're not reading that. We're mad.
It's not ham. It's Han, H-A-N.
McGranahan.
I have been called a ham, but anyhow, Tom says Steinhorn 10, McGranahan 0. We weren't trying to get Leonard. We never try to get him. We ask him questions that are on people's minds. One of our texters says, so Steinhorn is telling us Biden is in cognitive decline by making excuses for him? Anyone willing to look knows Biden is on the downhill slope. I said to Mark, with the mics off, I said, I think he doth protest too much.
That's right.
Because he gave a very, very long answer about why Joe Biden is not in cognitive decline.
Well, he also used as his example a campaign appearance a year and a half ago.
Right.
So I think President Biden's decline has been primarily this year.
Had we had more time, I would have asked him, are you not at all troubled as someone in your profession by the fact that he apparently has to a list of people he's permitted to call on, and people seem to be stage managing his every appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And for what reason would that be?
Well, I don't see too much weight in that. I mean, I think presidents have been managed pretty heavily by their handlers along the way. Now, obviously,
you think somebody managed Trump?
No. I think he was really an anomaly in many ways, and wouldn't be true for him at all. I don't think President Trump was in any way guided or handled or
he might have been better off if he would have been
or consulted or in any way affected by, you know, sort of
by other
media advice
opinions.
From other people.
Right, I agree.
All right, we have open phones. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. We're enjoying the Thanksgiving week lull, where we generally have a little bit fewer activity on the telephone, but we know you're there. So you're so mad about President Biden releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserves. Give us a call, 1-800-795-9565. Or is this proof that he can do nothing right?
I don't think that that's an issue that's going to get people's blood
flowing. Oh, you don't? Okay,
no.
Well, yeah, that might be.
I mean, if it lowers the cost of gasoline, what, 2 cents a gallon? I don't think that's a very big deal considering the prices it's at now. And I guess we're lucky if the price of gas in California is about $5 a gallon, we're pretty lucky here.
Right, 1-800. Yeah, I think the average price in Pennsylvania is $3.56, and that's what it is around here.
Right.
1-800-795-9565. Invite folks to go to gasbuddy.com and check out the lowest gas prices in their area and patronize the shoppers or patronize the places where these are lesser. I guess we'll run down the list of texts and emails. Go ahead.
One of our texters says, the tax cuts under Trump increased revenue into the government. Look at the numbers. We have a spending problem, not a revenue problem.
Well, Steinhorn's point wasn't about the revenue. I think it was obvious that they brought in more revenue, but it also contributed to the deficit. There were no corollary cuts in government programs when taxes were cut, so the deficit went up. That was his point.
Right.
But you're right. It may have increased all kinds of revenue, you know, in the long run.
Well, I mean, tax cuts generally are supposed to spur the economy, and, you know, how do you prove that? In other words, how do you prove that I wasn't going to spend $50, but then the tax cut came in and I spent $50?
Mm-hmm. Or you weren't going to spend anything, and then you realized, or your tax preparer said, hey, next year your tax is going to be $1,000 less and you need a new freezer, and so boom.
So go get it.
You go ahead and do it. Yeah, I think that is kind of a nebulous thing. Well, and I think tax cuts without corollary government cuts are the way it's done to, you know, increase popularity and to make yourself look like you're a good president. And it is a good thing to lower taxes. My taxes went down under the Trump tax cuts, and guess what? I'm happy
about
that.
Well, you're
a
multimillionaire. Well, you're the 1% then.
Yeah, that's right. I'm 1% of something at my house, that's for sure. But I do think that it did have the desired effect. It has a positive effect, and it might have, you know, prompted some more spending. Now, it did add to the deficit, and it didn't come with any government cuts, so, you know, it was just a giveaway for the rich, and so, but I appreciated that. You read that one.
Right.
Washington is the disease, not the cure. Is that not a Ronald Reagan cut?
I don't know, but that sounds like Reagan. The driver in the Waukesha vehicle massacre is having his first hearing today. If bail is less than $2 million, then the agenda will be known. Rittenhouse.
Okay.
Then, Joe, I'd say the guys in Georgia planned to do harm when they went hunting Aubrey armed. Wouldn't that be first-degree intentional homicide? Not necessarily. I mean, it requires a formulation of an intent to actually commit the crime.
Well, I believe a specific victim, too, is a general corollary, not just anybody who happens along.
Right. Well, and if I said I'm planning to shoot somebody at random today and I set it up, yeah, that would be first-degree murder. You know, I get on top of a tall building with a sniper rifle.
Just the
rifle.
Premeditation, but usually right. There's another component that you stand to gain from it also. Is
not
part
necessarily.
Of that.
Not necessarily.
Like
you don't
during
have
a
to
burglary
gain
or something, you're burgling and you kill somebody?
Well, let's just say I don't like you and I set up because I think you would be better off dead, if I, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So I set
right.
up and kill
you.
You don't owe me
because
anything.
I'm gone. And in fact, you would be better off if I'm gone, but that's not how it's going to work out.
I don't want you gone. Who would I joust with if you were gone?
Steve Kushloff will be here Monday and Tuesday next week.
Well, Steve
you.
Will do battle with me, I'm sure.
I'll be at deer camp. Al, thanks for waiting.
Is that D-E-A-R or D-E-E-R?
Both. Al, one day's D-E-E-R and the next day's D-E-A-R. Al, you're on the mark. Go ahead.
Morning, son. Who was that guy, Steinhardt? What's his name, Steinhardt?
Leonard Steinhorn.
Steinhorn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. He should probably take the same mental test of Joe Biden, because I think Joe Biden's, you know, going the wrong way in the Rose Garden and calling the president, the Harris administration. I think he's kind of lost it.
We hired Jerome Powell to be the Fed guy again, or re-upped him. Was that not a wise choice? See, that would be one of the very subtle things the president does that, you know, is probably a semi-positive thing, but they would never tell you that. It kind of leaks out that he's going to get the appointment, but they don't announce it.
Well, it's very obvious that he's not running the show. And, you know, all those times he said, well, I can't answer questions. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm going to be in trouble. Is he the president of the United States, or is he somebody's puppet? That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Well, I think it's troubling that he can't stand on a podium and, you know, pick people at random and answer their questions. His predecessors have done that. I mean, President Obama didn't duck reporters' questions the way Biden does, and the fact that they don't want him to take any tough questions, and they know that if Fox asks...
They don't want him to take any tough questions.
Hmm? What?
The reason they don't want him to take any...
No, I agree. They don't. I think they're worried about him making a gaffe.
Well, and even President Trump would face off with his least favored reporters and give them the...
Oh, he'd love to give them...
The Trump four.
One thing about President Trump, he never swung first, but when he swung back, buddy, you knew it. Because he, you know, he wouldn't let it go. He'd just wait for you to do something, and then you were fair game. Which is... only fair, you know, he's president of the United States, he's got to project a strong image, but Joe Biden just seems to be a walkover, and I can't wait till he's out of there and we get somebody different.
Well, who would you like? Because if we get somebody different, it well could be Kamala Harris.
Well, I mean a whole different term. I don't think Kamala Harris is going to run. She's too damaged. And there's just no good picks.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of talk about Pete Buttigieg being the nominee in a couple of years.
No, I don't think so. He doesn't turn a lot of people on, and he doesn't have the stature for it. He doesn't have the reputation. At least Joe Biden had a reputation of being tough, and so did Trump. I think we need a tough guy, not a goody-two-shoes like you like to...
Well, they're giving the presidency to the Republicans at the present time, so you could be right.
That's what I would say.
I'm just saying Buttigieg would be the nominee. It'd be hard. Almost any Republican could beat him if the election were today.
Yeah, and there's nobody else that they could. I mean, maybe one of these commentators that seem to be moderate, and there's one on Fox. They let a liberal on Fox, and he seems like... He has a lot of common sense and been around for a long time. I forget his name. But I think we need somebody different that's not a politician. I think that's going to work out better for the country.
Well, fair enough.
All right, we got you, Al. Thank you so much for calling in. Always glad to hear from you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Hey, you too, buddy. 1-800-795-9565. I've got four open lines right now. Give us a buzz. What's your view on these important topics? Strategic oil reserves, President Trump's demeanor with the media, and occasionally calling on the NBC reporters with whom he had an adversarial relationship. I guess that's the right way to word it. And we also talked about the Rittenhouse and Arbery trials that, one is underway, one is over. 1-800-795-9565 on the topic of media bias. One of our listeners says, this show is right-wing media bias on steroids. Well, I'm supposed to play a liberal here, so I guess I'm not doing too good.
Well, I mean, our good friend Tom obviously doesn't like hearing any opinions but those he agrees with, so that would make it seem that way to him.
One of our listeners says, I thought gas was only good for 6 months.
Is it refined?
Or no, it's crude oil.
It's crude oil. That's what
preserved.
I thought.
It's not
crude
gasoline
oil reserve.
Yet.
They don't save the gasoline. Actually, I think you can get a year out of it. I do.
Oh, gas. Well, yeah, homeowners do, but they try to use it up within a month of its refinement. But in any event, yeah, the strategic petroleum reserves are crude oil.
And then the Rittenhouse bail was set at $2 million. You know, this Brooke is, I guess, going to... They can't. They have to grant him bail, and that state is what state? Wisconsin? Or I forget where it was.
I don't know anything about the case. I'm glad you brought it up, but you guys have talked about it, and I'm learning about it from you. But I didn't follow it personally.
Well, that's where the car ran over all those people.
Oh, okay.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Jord,
but
North Carolina.
But here's the one that I got. You know, we talked about
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin,
the new case.
That's it.
The new case.
The Black Armed Militia rallying outside the Georgia courthouse on Monday. The Southern Poverty Law Center has called the new Black Panther Party, quote, and this is the Southern Poverty Law Center, a virulently racist and anti-Semitic organization whose leaders have encouraged violence against whites, Jews, and law enforcement.
That's who's rallying outside the courthouse down there. Now, what do you think the implication of that might be?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the one that care deeply about this.
They're obviously saying if we don't get the verdict we want, there's going to be a problem. Actually,
that was
the threat. He says, we're not taking it no more. Y'all are in serious trouble because the wrath of karma is coming on America. That's the supreme commander of the new Black Panther militia. And that's not exactly promoting racial harmony, do you think?
No, it doesn't sound like that's their main goal.
I don't think
you'll see that in their mission statement. One of our listeners says President Trump wanted to cut spending, but all spending bills originate in the House of Representatives. His mistake was not vetoing some of these bloated bills. Mark, you made my point. We have a spending problem in District of Columbia. And so Leonard Steinhorn is telling us President Biden's in cognitive decline by making
it.
We did do that.
Yes,
one.
We did.
Okay, sorry about that. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're down to this one, Joe. This is a big meme. I don't think I can make it any bigger.
No, it's a meme, in effect. Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad owns all of the rail lines in the U.S. that connect to Western Canada, and they had 80% of all
they
the
haul.
Crude they haul 80% of the crude oil from Canada to the Midwest and Texas, or charge other short line railroads a fee to use their tracks. BNSF charges $30 per barrel to haul the oil, while the Keystone Pipeline would cost $10 per barrel by the State Department's own estimates. Burlington Northern Santa Fe is owned by Berkshire Hathaway, whose chairman is Warren Buffett. In the last two election cycles, Buffett gave extensively to Democratic causes and candidates. He also bundled and hosted numerous fundraisers for Obama. If anyone believes the Keystone Pipeline isn't being blocked by Obama on Buffett's behalf, I've got a bridge to sell you. Buffett could stand to lose $2 billion plus a year if the pipeline is constructed. He makes the same amount every year that the pipeline is delayed.
I would really question that $30 per barrel to haul the oil. That seems exceedingly high, but it's also not correlated to any distance. You know, is it $30 a barrel to take it 1 mile or to take it from all the way from Canada to Texas? So I would love to see some research on that. But our good listener who sends us that says he checked this out, and it is true.
But where did he check it out?
Well, I don't know. But in any event, we'll assume that everything in there is true since he checked it out.
Well, in the start of the post that was sent to us says, this is true. How can we doubt that?
Right. Well, but look who's sending out that post, Mr. Potato Head.
Okay.
Whoever that is. So, but I think what it shows is that politics is influenced by money, which is certainly a Democratic cancer on the politic of America, but it's also a Republican issue. I mean, just because you found that President Obama received lots of money from the man who ran the rails that are crucial to keeping the Keystone Pipeline out of business, I think that's a great corollary. There's no argument there. But I think you can follow the Koch brothers right to Washington and all their many holdings. And, you know, likewise, any major Democrat supporters can follow the money. So, yeah, we have a big money problem. Washington's just outright busted in every way on both sides of the aisle, in my view. All right, 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sent us two questions about vaccines. The first one is, please share this on the air. Why are pediatricians recommending children getting vaccinated if children aren't dying from COVID? Do you know that answer?
No, but it says, really, if you logically interpret this real data, vaccines for the majority of people aren't necessary. My question is, why do the death rates continue to climb as the vaccination rates climb? The opposite should be true. What could be the motive for pushing vaccines on children and healthy adults?
Well, I think we're trying to stop the pandemic is the motive to get as many people vaccinated so the virus has no place to go, including in children. Children aren't certainly as vulnerable to the virus as other people, but they're great carriers of it to their older parents and their older grandparents. And to participate in keeping the pandemic going, about 10% of the cases of the coronavirus in the U.S. today are children. And so I think that's the goal of vaccinating children, is that you try to cut off that link so you stop the spread spread of the virus to older folks, even though, as you pointed out, most kids don't die from it. But a few do, and none who are vaccinated do, so you have an opportunity.
I didn't point that out, our emailer did.
Right, so I think we have an opportunity to help with the pandemic, and that's why they're asking kids to do that. Next question, why are cases climbing if vaccine rates are climbing? Well, I can answer that because we have a mini pandemic of the unvaccinated happening right now. The people who are dying are unvaccinated. Most of the people in the ICUs are unvaccinated. And those unvaccinated folks, we're glad to say, are handing the vaccine to each other in, you know, congregate care facilities and places where they gather, places where they won't wear masks and so on. So it's an opportunity for the unvaccinated to keep the statistics high. And that's what they're doing. So, and that's their prerogative. They say it's a freedom issue, so that's fine. Nobody's complaining that, you know, they're being forced to do something or forced to get the vaccine. I don't like the president's vaccine mandate on anybody. You know, I think he should mandate that absolutely positively everybody in America be given the information, objective factual information, and then avail themselves of the unfactual other side of the story if they wish to, and then get vaccinated if they want to, but no mandates.
I looked up the This Is True story about Warren Buffett, and it says Reuters fact-checked that claim. It says, as Reuters notes, the Post is referring to the Keystone XL pipeline, a project Biden canceled by executive order on his first day in office. The action was essentially a nail in the coffin to a project that would have carried 830,000 barrels of heavy oil sands crude from Alberta to Nebraska per day. The meme is clearly wrong on multiple points. For starters, it doesn't even spell Buffett's name correctly. More importantly, the assertion that Buffett donated $58 million to the Biden campaign is bogus. Public records show Buffett didn't donate to any political campaign in 2020, let alone a $58 million sum.
Yeah, but he does PACs. They do it.
And a spokesman for Buffett confirmed this. Mr. Buffett gave no money to the Biden presidential campaign. So score one for Reuters and setting the record straight and correctly spelling Buffett's name correctly. The news agency also correctly pointed out that Buffett donated to congressional Democrats in 2019, though they declined to say how much. If you're wondering, three checks alone in 2019 to Democratic and Congressional Campaign Committee totaled more than $460,000. So Warren is certainly invested in the Democratic Party, one way or the other.
All's a question was $30 per barrel. Well, a tank car would hold $1 million worth of fuel to Buffett. Then.
Well,
I mean, how many gallons are in a tank car? Or how many barrels?
Reuters admits that Berkshire Hathaway does, in fact, own one of the largest railroad networks in North America, which runs 32,500 route miles crossing 28 states and several Canadian provinces. The news agency also admits that trains on the BNSF carry lots of energy, especially oil and coal. However, Reuters argues that Berkshire Hathaway does not stand to benefit from the demise of the Keystone XL. Railroads such as the BNSF, Reuters says, are not the principal way oil is transported from Canada to the United States.
Oh, okay. And I wonder about that $30 claim.
Doesn't
but
say,
that's not there.
Doesn't
okay.
address that. So I was looking to see if somewhere the price was mentioned. But
well, everything else is false
so
in the meme, so we'll go
well,
from there.
According to this source.
Reuters.
This is Reuters. And Reuters generally is considered to be fairly accurate, right?
Yep, they're one step down from the BBC.
All right.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take the last break of the day. Call us now with your view on these important topics we talked about today, the Rittenhouse and Arbery trial, the president drawing down on the Strategic Petroleum Reserves, and media bias. We actually found out in the first half of the show that the media is biased or has a bias, so we learned that. The president's cognitive decline. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. We got some emails left over that are quite important. Upper right-hand corner.
Yes, Dave on the Hill says, record number of deaths due to illegal drugs which are flowing across the border along with all the people. How many illegals had Wolf allowed Old Joe to... Tofu.
Old Joe Tofu'd in.
Tofu'd in. Tofu? That's...
That whole... There was a great email somebody sent us, but, you know, it was so long ago that when we were talking about whatever we were talking about, we missed our chance. All right, we got the last caller coming in right now, and here's the last email.
All right, he says, the lefty liberals make me laugh. Now we need to all come together and work together for the sake of our country. Yeah. Your caller said it's not funny what's happening in Washington, and we need to take it seriously. We did take it seriously, and that's why we didn't want Biden or any leftist as our president. But when Trump was in office, it was perfectly fine to mock him and lie about him on a daily basis. For 4 years, the left and media did everything possible to tear down our president and country apart. But now, when they finally got their, quote, alleged incompetent guy there, unquote, all of us need to rally around this administration and be kind and work together. Give me a break. Let's go, Brandon.
Oh, we like mocking the president on this show. It's practically a full-time job. Let's see. Oh, we have one more email.
So the last article I sent you does, in fact, fact-check the Reuters story. Okay, well...
Well, I think we've taken this as far as we can.
Yeah, as far as we can.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate the conversation.
Yep, we do.
A man named Mark from Watsontown. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. And before I forget it, may both of you have a good Thanksgiving.
And you as well. Thank you.
Well, two things. The mental capacity of President Biden, I think it's pretty obvious. It's not a good situation. And I can't see him lasting 3 years, really. And the other thing, getting the COVID virus under control, you got to get control of your borders. You just don't bring them in and then fly them all over the country and drop them off. And that's what we're doing. The taxpayers are paying for it. What's your opinion?
Well, I think that, you know, the president does need to get in control of something. The border would be something he could easily take control of if he had the, what, willpower to do it. You know, it certainly could be done. I think he inherited not a mess. He inherited a fairly secure border and one that was on the verge of becoming even more secure. And he threw it all out the window because of politics.
Yes, he did. And the mental capacity, I think it's pretty obvious that the he's going down there, too.
Well, I think that's true and observable and provable, but I don't think he'll leave office. I think he'll stay in office. You know, just because he's incapacitated doesn't mean he can't be president. He'll probably pass some sort of a cognitive test, and as they're doing now, they'll keep him going, and he'll be able to, you know, do some front things in front of a microphone as long as it's scripted. So I don't see him leaving office, particularly since the next in line will be Kamala Harris, and I don't think they see that as the ideal person to have there. You know, maybe it's Pete Buttigieg or somebody else that they would want there, but she'd have to step out of the way first.
Well, and then you would get Nancy Pelosi.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for calling in. We got to hit the...
Take care.
Hey, you too, buddy, and thanks for the Thanksgiving greeting. I want to tell you what I have done, and that's go to the Sunbury Motor Company and test drive a number of vehicles. I drove an F-250, F-150, Bronco, Mustang, and I even drove one of the Excursions a couple years ago just to make sure that the great vehicles that they have their fabulous prices, fantastic service, are available to you and to everyone, and that the vehicles are what we say they are, and superlative in every way. SunburyMotors.com is how I always start out. I pick out a vehicle, then Jeff says, hey, try this one out, and I try this one out. We're going to try a different truck next week, and we're going to make sure that we are telling you about the fantastic service, that the great prices, the high trade-in values, the fact that they will super serve you the way they have many other people. I've stuck with the Fords, but they have Hyundais and Kias as well, and so you got a choice to go there. A couple of different options. They'll have a Maverick truck on the lot within a month, so get excited about that. And they actually had a Lightning electric truck there visiting. So those are going to be, within a year, those will be there, and they'll start to whittle down the wait list that exists for those. So you can find out how to drive the next perfect Kia, Hyundai, or Ford at the Sunbury Motor Company. But start that search where I do at sunburymotors.com. Then go to North 4th Street or the Kia dealership on 11 and 15. Talk to Jason, Alphonse, Ernie, Austin, and Jeff.
Boy, you ran that right up to the post.
Oh, boy. I almost forgot to do it all together. Then I would have been in the doghouse.
And deservedly so.
Right.
Well, we have a text or an email left over that we can start tomorrow with, but we invite you to join us again then.
Came from the smartest woman in the world. And so we are going to one of them anyway. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time. It is now 10 o'clock, time for the Dan Patrick Show.